An excerpt from Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality, Chapter 16, Lateral Thinking, by Eliezer Yudkowsky, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. At 2:35 p.m., when most of the seats were taken and no one else seemed to be coming in, Professor Quirrell gave a sudden jerk in his chair and sat up straight, and his face appeared on all the flat, white rectangular objects that were propped up on the students' desks. Harry was taken by surprise, both by the sudden appearance of Professor Quirrell's face and by the resemblance to Muggle television. There was something both nostalgic and sad about that. It seemed so much like a piece of home, and yet it wasn't, really. "Good afternoon, my young apprentices," said Professor Quirrell. His voice seemed to come from the desk screen, and to be speaking directly to Harry. "Welcome to your first lesson in battle magic, as the founders of Hogwarts would have put it, or, as it happens to be called, in the late 20th century, defense against the dark arts." There was a certain amount of frantic scrabbling as students, taken by surprise, reached for their parchment or notebooks. "Now," Professor Quirrell said, "don't bother writing down what this subject was once called. No such pointless question will count toward your marks in any of my lessons. That is a promise." Many students sat straight up at that, looking rather shocked. Professor Quirrell was smiling thinly. "Those of you who have wasted time by reading your useless first-year defense textbooks," someone made a choking sound, Harry wondered if it was Hermione, "may have gotten the impression that although this subject is called Defense Against the Dark Arts, it is actually about how to defend against nightmare butterflies, which can cause mildly bad dreams, or acid slugs, which can dissolve all the way through a 2-inch wooden beam given most of a day." Professor Quirrell stood up, shoving his chair back from the desk. The screen on Harry's desk followed his every move. Professor Quirrell strode towards the front of the classroom and bellowed, "The Hungarian horntail is taller than a dozen men. It breathes fire so quickly and so accurately that it can melt a snitch in mid-flight. One killing curse will bring it down." There were gasps from the students. "The mountain troll is more dangerous than the Hungarian horntail. It is strong enough to bite through steel. Its hide is resistant enough to withstand stunning hexes and cutting charms. Its sense of smell is so acute that it can tell from afar whether its prey is part of a pack or alone and vulnerable. Most fearsome of all, the troll is unique among magical creatures in continuously maintaining a form of transfiguration on itself. It is always transforming into its own body. If you somehow succeed in ripping off its arm, it will grow another within seconds. Fire and acid will produce scar tissue, which can temporarily confuse a troll's regenerative powers for an hour or two. They are smart enough to use clubs as tools. The mountain troll is the third most perfect killing machine in all nature. One killing curse will bring it down." The students were looking rather shocked. Professor Quirrell was smiling rather grimly. "Your sad excuse for a third-year defense textbook will suggest to you that you expose the mountain troll to daylight, which will freeze it in place. This, my young apprentices, is the sort of useless knowledge you will never find in my lessons. You do not encounter mountain trolls in open daylight. The idea that you should use sunlight to stop them is the result of foolish textbook authors trying to show off their mastery of minutiae at the expense of practicality. Just because there is a ridiculously obscure way of dealing with mountain trolls does not mean you should actually try to use it. The killing curse is unblockable, unstoppable, and works every single time on anything with a brain. If, as an adult wizard, you find yourself incapable of using the killing curse, then you can simply apparate away. Likewise, if you are facing the second most perfect killing machine, a Dementor, you just apparate away." "Unless, of course," Professor Quirrell said, his voice now lower and harder, "you are under the influence of an anti-apparition jinx. There is exactly one monster which can threaten you once you're fully grown. The single most dangerous monster in all the world. So dangerous that nothing else comes close. The Dark Wizard. That is the only thing that will still be able to threaten you." Professor Quirrell's lips were set in a thin line. "I will reluctantly teach you enough trivia for a passing mark on the ministry-mandated portions of your first-year finals. Since your exact mark on these sections will make no difference to your future life, anyone who wants more than a passing mark is welcome to waste their own time studying our pathetic excuse for a textbook. The title of this subject is not Defense Against Minor Pests. You're here to learn how to defend yourself against the dark arts, which means, let us be very clear on this, defending yourselves against dark wizards, people with wands who want to hurt you, and who will likely succeed in doing so unless you hurt them first. There is no defense without offense. There is no defense without fighting. This reality is deemed too harsh for 11-year-olds by the fat of a paid or guarded politicians who mandated your curriculum. To the abyss with those fools. You're here for the subject that has been taught at Hogwarts for 800 years. Welcome to your first year of battle magic. Harry started applauding. He couldn't help himself. It was too inspiring. Once Harry started clapping, there was some scattered response from Gryffindor and more from Slytherin, but most students simply seemed too stunned to react. Professor Quirrell made a cutting gesture, and the applause died instantly. "Thank you very much," said Professor Quirrell. "Now to practicalities. I have combined all my first-year battle classes into one, which allows me to offer you twice as much classroom time as double sessions," there were gasps of horror, "an increased load which I will make up to you by not assigning any homework." The gasps of horror cut off abruptly. "Yes, you heard me correctly. I will teach you to fight, not to write 12 inches on fighting due Monday." Harry desperately wished he'd sat next to Hermione so he could see the look on her face now, but on the other hand, he was pretty sure he was imagining it accurately. Also, Harry was in love. It would be a 3-way wedding. Him, the time-turner, and Professor Quirrell. "For those of you who so choose, I have arranged some after-school activities that I think you will find quite interesting as well as educational. Do you want to show the world your own abilities instead of watching 14 other people play Quidditch? More than 7 people can fight in an army." Hot damn. "These and other after-school activities will also earn you Quirrell points." "What are Quirrell points, you ask?" "The house point system does not suit my needs because it makes house points too rare. I prefer to let my students know how they are doing more frequently than that. And on the rare occasions I offer you a written test, it will mark itself as you go along. And if you get too many related questions wrong, your test will show the names of students who got those questions right, and those students will be able to earn Quirrell points by helping you." Wow. Why didn't the other professors use a system like that? "What good are Quirrell points, you wonder? For a start, 10 Quirrell points will be worth 1 house point, but they will earn you other favors as well. Would you like to take your exam at an unusual time? Is there a particular session you would very much prefer to skip? You will find that I can be very flexible on behalf of students who have accumulated enough Quirrell points. Quirrell points will control generalship of the armies, and for Christmas, just before the Christmas break, I will grant someone a wish. Any school-related feat that lies within my power, my influence, or above all, my ingenuity. Yes, I was in Slytherin, and I am offering to formulate a cunning plot on your behalf, if that is what it takes to accomplish your desire. This wish will go to whoever has earned the most Quirrell points within all 7 years. That would be Harry. Now leave your books and loose items at your desks. They will be safe. The screens will watch over them for you. And come down onto this platform. It's time to play a game called Who's the Most Dangerous Student in the Classroom?